If you would please, Genesis chapter 13, we're continuing through our study in the book of Genesis and enjoying all that the Lord has put there for us. It's been called the seed plot of the Bible because in it we find so many firsts, so many first words, first concepts, first ideas, and things that guide our understanding of these truths throughout the Bible wherever they appear. And we're not looking at some firsts here today necessarily, but we do see some warning signs in choices that are being made. And let's read Genesis 13. We'll read the first 13 verses of the chapter. It says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to be sober-minded and to be honest and discerning about our own lives. We can be occupied with gaining knowledge and being lifted up in the knowledge that we have. But a lot of times we fail to apply that knowledge. We fail to have wisdom on how to apply the knowledge, and we fail to be honest with ourselves about where we're going and being objective about the truths that we know and apply them to our own heart, our own life. And as a result, we can experience failures and destruction that is unnecessary given the truth that we've been given. Lord, I pray that you would help us to receive the truth from your word today. Help us to examine our own lives. Lord, give us the discernment that we need to realize where we're going and then the humility to change and to be corrected and to come to you. I pray that you'd be glorified in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, if you were with us, you'll remember that we looked at Abram retracing his steps from Egypt back to Canaan. And we looked at the first four verses of this chapter and how we remembered what happened in chapter 12 and how Abram had made a series of selfish choices down in Egypt. And it resulted in destroying some things and ruining some things. And so he retraced his steps. He left Egypt, left the pagan place that it was, left the site of his selfish choices, his lying choices, and he moved back to the land of Canaan after experiencing some problems that his self-centeredness and faithlessness had brought him. Now he was back in Canaan, and he was in the place that God had promised to give him, the place of God's blessing, and he's moving forward again in the will of God. And we need to do that sometimes. Sometimes we can find ourselves in a mess because we started doing things according to our own wisdom, according to our own understanding, getting out of the will of God and experiencing the consequences of those actions. And we need to retrace our steps. And now he has done that. Lot came with him. They're back in the land of Canaan. And we see some events that are in this passage we just read about that in the grand scheme of things, especially when you consider the life of Abram and the Bible as a whole, you might not say that these events are all that consequential. There's not a lot here that really is a earth-shattering sort of series of events, but they are important and they are impactful because they provide some context for the future. As you go through the book of Genesis, you see later events that do have their roots and are connected with our text today. And I want us to see that both Abram and Lot made choices personally in their lives that set the stage. And you understand that phrase, set the stage. If you think about a theater stage, or you know, there's a play or something that's going on, they set the stage. They put furniture, they put backdrops in place to prepare for what's about to happen. And Abram's choices and Lot's choices set the stage. They put some things in place for what later happened. And while these events that we just read about are not earth-shattering, as I said, the later ones that do come along are very important and are very consequential. And those happened in part because of what we just read about. And it shouldn't surprise us that these choices that they made here later had great impact later, because that happens in our lives. We look at daily choices that we make and we say, that choice, it was inconsequential. It was a very small thing, possibly, but that choice leads to other choices, which leads to very big and important and consequential choices. No matter how big or small the choices seem to be, they always affect what comes next. And this is important for us to remember. Your choices today will affect tomorrow. It doesn't matter how small they seem, how big they seem, they do have far-reaching effects. And the title of the message is a thought that I want us to consider carefully this morning. It's not a very profound idea, but it is necessary and important for us to consider. It's something that we can forget far too often. And this is the title, Choices Take You Somewhere. Choices take you somewhere. It's good for us to remember that. First of all, I want us to see that Abram's choices and Lot's choices took them somewhere. And we're going to look at a number of choices that are implied and specifically described here. And this whole passage is either the result of their choices or the record of their choices. And so I want us to see this. First of all, I want us to see and think about that success comes from choices. Success comes from choices, and that's good for us to remember. It says in Genesis 13:2, Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. And we see in verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And especially in this culture, livestock, flocks and herds, that was a very important measure of wealth. And still is today. There are ranchers and there are all kinds of people that own livestock, because we eat animals for food, and it's still a measure of wealth. But especially back then, they didn't have a cashless society. They didn't have an ATM or all of these things. It was livestock, and they would trade livestock for goods and eat them, of course. And so it was a very tangible measure of not only wealth but security. If you had a big flock and you were short on other means of food, other forms of food, you could at least rely on that for a while. And Abram had a lot of things. He was rich in cattle, very rich in cattle, very rich in silver and in gold. And Lot had a lot of wealth as well. Abram appears to be more wealthy than Lot does here, but they were both prosperous. And we don't know how long it took them to become prosperous. Well, remember, of course, that they used to live in Ur of the Chaldees, and we're not told exactly how wealthy they were there. Maybe they had nothing when they went out. Maybe they had a little bit. It was a long journey that they took from Ur up to Haran, and then down into Canaan, and then into Egypt, and back into Canaan. They no doubt took their wealth with them. Abram received some possessions, some things from Pharaoh in Egypt. And we don't know how long it took them to become wealthy. I would imagine a number of years, several years at least. Of course, when you have livestock, it takes time for the livestock to reproduce and grow up and reproduce and multiply. Of course, you're eating some. And so you really need to take care of your wealth. These principles are still in effect. But it took them a while, and they had to manage and develop those things to protect what they had. The weather affects the growth of livestock and the growth of the herds, and you have to move them to good grazing land and watering, and you have to protect them from wild animals, and you have to keep them healthy and all of these things. And so it's a full-time job. And this isn't really our culture. We don't even live in an area where there are shepherds or cattle ranchers. And so this is really foreign to me. I haven't been exposed to this in my life. We live around farming, and so maybe I've picked up a few more things about farming in that way. But we know that this is how you develop your flocks and herds. Lot also had tents. Abram had silver and gold. And we understand how to accumulate wealth, at least in some basic ideas. And you sell high. You sell at a high price and you buy at a low price. And if you keep doing that, you will accumulate wealth. And no doubt, Abram and Lot made choices like this. And it did not happen by accident. It didn't happen through laziness. And it's good for us to remember that success comes from choices. And you can have success based on your choices. I can have success based on my choices. And it's easy for people sometimes to feel like it doesn't matter what my choices are. I'm never going to have such and so. I'm never going to be such and such. But success does come from choices. The Bible is very clear about this. Proverbs 10:4 says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." A slack hand is loose. It is not disciplined. It's not firm. It's not consistent. And if you live in an inconsistent and relaxed way, you probably will become poor. This is what happens. The hand of the diligent is not slack. It's opposite of the slack hand in this verse, and it maketh rich. It's a Proverbs 13:4 says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." These are proverbs. These are common truths. You will find this. You make good choices, you will find success. Proverbs 20:4, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold." It's too hard out there. It's too cold. He's lazy. That's why he doesn't plow. But he finds excuses. He makes choices that lead to poverty. "Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing." It's because he's lazy. There are all kinds of ways that a person may find themselves rich. And you might say, well, that's fine and everything, but I've made good choices and I haven't become rich. Wealth is a relative thing, and we live in a very wealthy society compared to other societies in the world. And so we do need to qualify what we mean by success and what we mean by wealth. I don't believe God wants every Christian to be a billionaire, and so it's a relative thing. But if we're talking about success, being able to make a comfortable living in whatever society you live in, if you make good choices, you will find some success in this way. And we see that there are many ways that a person may find themselves rich. You can become rich through inheritance, and that still comes from choices. Your ancestors made choices, and you have inherited the fruit of those choices. Success does come from choices. Some people get rich through the lottery. And of course, we know that gambling is an unbiblical way of becoming rich. It's not a thing that God condones, but it is a way that people do become rich. They make choices to, and they have fortune, they have luck, as we would say, but it is still a result of choices, and it's not a godly form of wealth. But they made choices to get there. Sometimes people get rich because they were in the right time and the right place. They just happened to coincide with the right factors and situations, and they were able to accumulate riches, but they still played a part with their personal choices. We sometimes see that people are very skilled and very intelligent. They're very gifted, and they're very good at accumulating wealth. And people like that may accumulate riches faster than most of us, but they still had to make choices to get there. A lot of times people can accumulate riches and wealth and reach a comfortable lifestyle through a slow and steady pattern of living.
slow and steady, making good choices day after day, year after year, and people who make these kinds of choices can still accumulate wealth in time. And our society is built around this. It provides all kinds of opportunities. And so it is possible, is what I'm saying. I'm not lifting it up. Wealth is not the be-all, end-all. Money is a servant. Money is not a good master. Money is a good servant. And if you become the servant of money, you will destroy your life. You will not do much for the Lord if money is your master. But money does make a good servant. And when the Lord leads us, we need to be careful. The love of money, the Bible says, is the root of all evil. And so we should always be guarding our hearts. But my point here is Abram and Lot had wealth because of choices that they made. Sometimes people who are not what we would consider wealthy, you know, I'm not a millionaire, I'm not even a 100,000-aire, perhaps. We can resent people who are wealthy, and we can look up to them and think that they have what we ought to have, and we can resent that. But it's good to remember that they made choices to get there, and we all have the power to make such choices. Not all choices and opportunities are the same, but we all have great power in our choices to improve the situation that we find ourselves in. And unfortunately, some people are billionaires because they've made money their god. And we ought never to desire that, to envy that. I don't, if I could become a billionaire by making money my god, I don't want it. I don't want to live that way. I'm content having God be my god, not money. But if God allows us to grow in wealth, it shouldn't be merely for our own benefit. And that's often why people make money their god, because they want to live comfortably. They want to live in luxury. They want to have all these nice things. They want to do it for themselves. But Ephesians 4:28 says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." If we just heap wealth to ourselves, kind of like an Ebenezer Scrooge kind of thing, we've just got this whole pile of money and we're not using it. It just makes us feel good to have it. We're not even using it as it ought to be used. Money is intended to be used, and we ought to be using it and use our choices, make our choices in that way. Wealth is not necessarily a measure of anything except material possessions. Being wealthy doesn't make you more godly, doesn't make you more powerful, doesn't make you more virtuous. It just means you have more money. And so we need to keep it in its proper place. But it is a general rule that if you work hard and make good financial choices, you will end up with more than you need. And so may God's people make good choices within the will of God that will allow us to bless and help and give to him that needeth. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." We need, obviously, food and clothing and shelter to live on, but we ought to lay up treasures on this earth so that we can use them and be a blessing and help others and use them as they ought to be used, not to lay up and heap up to ourselves. As I mentioned, 1 Timothy 6 talks about the love of money being the root of all evil. And we need to guard against this because we always have this potential in our lives. But Abram and Lot had acquired some wealth, and I just want us to realize and think about that it was because of their choices. They had already made choices in the past, and now we see the results of that. And we're constantly seeing, day by day, we are seeing the results of choices in our life. What is your day looking like today? It is partly, at least, the result of past choices that you've made. Are you happy with where you're at? Are you where you want to be? Well, you're reaping the crop of choices you've made in the past. And sometimes we can blame others, but our own choices have a lot to do with what we experience in our life day by day. Choices take you somewhere. And we see Abram and Lot were in a place that at least partly was brought about because of their choices. I want us to see also that success brings more choices. And we're talking about, for a few minutes, acquiring wealth, and that might sound attractive, but the more things that you acquire, it does bring choices that may not always be pleasant. Look at Genesis 13:6. It says, "And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together." Oh, that would be great to be wealthy. It'd be great to have lots of herds and tents and gold and silver. Well, it brought them to a place where they could not dwell together anymore. They couldn't enjoy each other's company like they had in the past. Success brings more choices. And in verse 8, Abram says, "We be brethren." I think that they loved each other. I think that they enjoyed living next to each other with their possessions, but they were brought to a painful realization that they could not any longer live in the same place. They couldn't reside together. And maybe that brought a little bit of regret. You know, if we weren't so wealthy, we would be able to continue in this situation that we've been in. But their success had made it impossible to continue in close proximity to each other. And so they were brought to the crossroads of another choice. Their past choices brought them wealth, but it also brought the need to make more choices. And our success brings more choices. We don't like most kinds of change. And if I were to ask for a show of hands, I think probably we would all say, a lot of times when change comes into my life, I'm not happy with that. I'm not comfortable with that. Some forms of change we are, but we like things to stay as they are. But change is constant in our lives, and often it comes to us because of our own good and bad choices. Well, if they wouldn't do such and such, then I wouldn't have to change. My life wouldn't change. It's their fault. But oftentimes our own choices bring change. Choices take you somewhere. And it could seem maybe a bit cruel to Abram and Lot that their past choices, good choices that brought wealth, they were also the choices that brought a painful choice. It also brought them to a painful crossroads, because they would have, I think, preferred to stay together and stay near each other. But our choices do the same thing. Even good choices can bring painful change in our life. And so we need to choose with care. The Bible teaches us about our choices that bring further choices and change in our life. Ephesians 6 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth." Our choices can lengthen or shorten our lives. Our choices to accumulate material things can add trouble to our lives. James 5 verses 1 to 3 tell us about this. It adds trouble. We acquire material things. I think about things like a boat. I like to fish. And it sounds nice to be able to have a boat and be able to go out on a body of water and fish when I have time to do that. But then I think, well, if I had a boat, I'd have to have a place to store it. And I'd have to have a way to maintain it. And it has an engine. And it might leak. And it might be stolen. And there are all these headaches that come along with possession. And so even if I could afford a boat, I don't know if that's an amount of trouble that I just want to add to my life for the amount of joy that it might bring. And we understand that you apply it to your thing that you would like to have, it will bring trouble. Possessions can bring trouble and extra choices. Ecclesiastes 5:11, Solomon says, "When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes?" The more you have, the more that you need to use it for. And what does it benefit you, except you can look at what you have and say, "Hey, I've got more than I used to." But it all goes away anyway. It's all used up anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 tells us that when you get married, you bring on a lot of burdens on how to please your spouse. Paul says, if you're single, you can give your time and your energy and your heart and your mind to serving the Lord. But when you get married, you have to please your spouse. And it's okay for people to get married, of course, but we just need to know that when you make such choices, you are adding extra burdens to your life as well. There are joys, and we can add joy to our life by making good choices like this, but those joys also add burdens. And so this is just something that choices bring. Success brings more choices. And Abram and Lot were independently wealthy and secure. Sounds great, doesn't it? Their successful investment choices had brought great possessions. That sounds great. You know, that's where I want to be. Well, it also brought more choices, and some of them were difficult and painful. And it's that way still today. Our choices will take us somewhere. And we ought to ask, these choices that I'm considering making, will these choices take me to a place that God wants me to be? Oh, it sounds like a good choice. You know, I like that. Well, is it where God wants us to be? You might take a job that would pay you a lot more, but will that job take you to a place where God wants you to be? You might consider putting money into this investment vehicle. Will that take you to where God wants you to be? Oh, but it's going to be so successful. Is that the success that God wants you to be in and experience? Choices take you somewhere. And not only do we have to consider the choice now, is this a good choice or a bad choice, but we also have to understand where the choice will take us, because choices always do that. If God does not want us to be in the place where this choice takes us, we should say, it doesn't matter how good it looks. Doesn't matter how, it's too good to pass up. I will pass it up because it's going to take me to a place that God doesn't want me to be. If God does want me to be there, then I shouldn't be disturbed about what I think the choice will bring into my life. It's the right choice, and it takes me to a place God wants me to be, and so I'm going to make it without hesitation and without fear. Success brings more choices. Let's look next. Choices reveal priorities. And we see priorities revealed in Abram and Lot's lives. Look at chapter 13, verse 7. It says, "And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." Choices reveal priorities, and your choices do too. My choices do too. And we see a complicated and many-layered problem that Abram and Lot were facing. I am quite confident that this situation was unfolding over a period of time, and their consideration of it was unfolding over a period of time. We go from, in a matter of, you know, a minute perhaps or less of reading words, we go from Abram living in Egypt to Abram saying to Lot, we need to separate. It happened very quickly in Scripture, but I'm sure this was an unfolding, slowly developing situation, because it is that way in our lives. We become aware of situations, and so they had to consider it over a period of time, and no doubt they were both working on the problem, but we see Abram taking the lead and initiating the choices, and Lot agreed, and he followed that. But I want us to see the complicated situation that was going on here, many layers to this. First of all, it says there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. You see that priorities are being revealed here in choices, and it involves past choices and future choices. The herdmen of both masters, they were trying to make good choices to care for the livestock that was under their care. Their priority was fulfilling their duty to their master, and so they were looking out for their own, for the animals that they were watching over, and they should have been. This was their priority. We see that these herdmen were competing with each other for their limited pasture land. And this is the way it is in the business world. If you work for a boss, he expects you to work in their self-interest, in the business interest, not for the interest of another business. And so there is competition, and you're kind of fighting and scrapping to do well for your business, not in an illegal way or unscrupulous way, but those are your priorities, and that's how the herdmen were behaving as well. And there was this strife because you had two sides competing for the same limited pasture land, the same limited resources. And now Abram and Lot had many priorities to organize because, yes, their livestock, their possessions, that's what they'd been caring for. That's what they were trying to develop. But now as they heard about this strife, no doubt they would have been told about it, and their foreman herdman would have come and said, Lot, you know, Abram's guys, they're a bunch of jerks. They keep doing this to us. We're just trying to take care of our livestock, and they keep, you know, pushing us off the land. And Abram's herdman would come and say, you know, Lot's men, they're nasty. They're mean. They're not fighting fair. They're doing this and that. And they would have had to sort through all of this. They would have had to find out, are there any offenses committed by the herdmen that need to be prosecuted? Are any of these herdmen being criminal in their behavior? Are they trying to cross a line here? We have to figure out who is at fault here. Whose fault is this? And that would have been something that they'd have to consider. They couldn't have decided or considered, you know, we've got this strife going on. Do we need to reduce the size of our herds? Do we need to find out if that's the solution? And maybe they would have been tempted to say to the other, you know, your herd is too big. If your herd wasn't so big, if you weren't letting them multiply like this, we wouldn't have this problem. They would have had to consider, you know, what do we do? We don't have enough pasture land. How long should we stay in this? Should we wait to decide what before we decide what to do about this? You just need to be happy with the grassland that you have. Just be happy with what you have. Let's tolerate this a lot longer. Maybe one of them needs to be pushed out. And maybe Abram could have been tempted by this. You know, it's only because of me that Lot is even here. I've been providing him leadership and mentorship. He went down into Egypt with me. That was a good place to live. He was blessed because he was following me. And now he's here and he's blessed. You know how much I've taught him about caring for livestock? If it weren't for me, he wouldn't even have half of this. And so he needs to leave. I get to decide. He needs to make room for me. I was here first, or my herd is bigger, and so you have to leave. I'm older than you. I'm more wise than you in any of these things. This would have been competition and priorities to sort through. Or maybe, is there a different solution? Is there something else we should be considering? This was a complicated problem than what we just read in a couple of verses here. But we do see the choice that Abram made. And we might think that these choices were pretty straightforward and sensible, pretty obvious, and maybe they are. But we shouldn't overlook the many other elements that contributed to this situation. Before you and I make our choices, we need to reevaluate our priorities. We can become fixated on certain priorities and outcomes, and I see this sometimes in issues between people. And something starts to bug you about that person, about what they do and how they live, and you start to you fixate on that, and that has to be fixed. I mean, why would you do that? That doesn't make any sense. What are they thinking? And we can start to lift that priority above everything else because we're just focused on that. Fix that, fix that. And suddenly we just do something. Let's just fix it because we've become obsessed over a lesser priority. I'm considering a choice. Do I have the right priorities? Abram or Lot could have done this. Just stop the strife. You need to fire those men. Just stop the strife. You need to decrease your herds or whatever. But we see Abram's priorities in his choices. He had some very good priorities, and he organized them properly, I believe. Genesis 13:8, Abram says, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee." First of all, Abram prioritized peace over strife. Far more important than the herds, far more important than precedence and who's older and all of this, Abram said, let's stop the strife. Let's have peace. That's more important than your cows or my sheep having enough to eat. Let's stop strife. He prioritized peace over strife. Strife is destructive. And it's usually sinful. The word strife means exertion or contention for superiority. Contest of emulation, either by intellectual or physical efforts. We are contending for superiority. And we could call this competition. And not all competition is strife, but strife, I believe, is competition. And sometimes we can say competition's a really good thing. And sometimes it can be strife and not a good thing. It's good to strive against evil. We should compete and strive against evil. We should oppose evil. We should fight against it. But Abram and Lot were brethren. It was not good against evil. Unless you and I are striving against evil in the power and will of God, we are striving in pride, and that's the danger. That's why strife is usually sinful. Strife is destructive. It should be destructive to evil. We should destroy evil through striving against it. But usually, or I should say, I don't know about usually, I don't know what the numbers are, but often we can find strife between two people is not, again, good against evil. It's brethren against each other. And it's in pride, because Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention. Contention only happens if pride is present. Now, it's possible for you and me, I think, to contend without being in pride. Sometimes contention and strife comes at us. And if we are striving against evil, it's possible to do that humbly. But God doesn't lead us. God doesn't create strife so that both sides can be without pride. Only by pride cometh contention. God will not lead his servants to contend with each other. Contention happens because pride exists on one or both sides. God doesn't lead his servants into contention with each other. God may lead us to contend with evil, to strive against evil. And if he's leading us in doing that, we can do it humbly and in a godly way. But pride leads to contention. May God help us to reject pride and the strife that pride brings. Proverbs 17:19 says, he loveth transgression that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. What a sad commentary. And maybe you've known people that seem to enjoy a fight. They just seem to, they love that competition. They love that argument. They love to debate. They love to kind of butt heads with people. Have you ever noticed that? It might not be a fist fight kind of contention. It might not be anything violent, but they just like that strife. That ought to concern us. If somebody loves strife, it says, he loveth transgression that loveth strife. That's not an appetite that we should have. Look at Proverbs chapter 16. Abram prioritized peace over strife. It's good to live in peace. It's good to live without strife, without contention. And we ought to be seeking this. Abram sought this. You know, more important than possessions, more important than sheep and cattle, we need to have peace. We need to have a lack, an absence of strife. Proverbs 16:19 says, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. It's better to be among people who are low and seemingly unimportant and tiny and humble. It's better to be with them than to divide the spoil with the proud, to live in richness and wealth and luxury with the proud. It's better to be of an humble spirit with the lowly. We need to be humble. Pride brings contention. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11, verse 2. It says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. And Abram was prioritizing properly. We see that his choices revealed his priorities, and he could have tried to strong-arm Lot into doing what he wanted him to do. You need to leave. You need to move out. I'm here. I'm going to have this land. You go somewhere else. He could have tried to do that. He could have tried to put his own herds first, or even his own men first. You know, I've considered the evidence here, Lot, and I think that your herdmen have done my herdmen wrong, and so you need to pay for this. You need to leave. He didn't do any of that. He prioritized peace over strife. He was looking down the road. Where are these choices going to lead me? If I try to take a stand right here, how is that going to affect the future? How will that affect our relationship? Will that bring peace, or will that bring more strife? Will that bring resolution, or will this just bring more contention? And we see his priority here. Let there be no strife between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. Let's stop this contention and this strife. We also see he prioritized separation over competition for resources, or the lack of resources. The herds and the herdmen were competing. They were striving because there was a lack of resources. So rather than say, let's keep competing, let's keep fighting tooth and nail to have what we need, or let's stop striving, but we'll just go without. Obviously, he didn't want their herds to suffer and to die off because of the lack of grazing land. Rather than choose those things, he prioritized separation over strife and competition. He says in verse 9, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. Abram knew that strife would defeat them both. He wanted peace, and he knew that strife would destroy them. And he did not try to win the struggle. Too often people say, well, if we stay in strife, we're both going to lose, so I'm just going to win. And you can lose. And Abram didn't take that path. I expect that he was not glad about being separated from Lot because they were brethren, but he knew that that was better than mutual destruction. I think sometimes we can get an idea like togetherness in our head, and we pursue that, we want that, we enjoy that, and it can become the highest priority that we have. I was thinking about togetherness and being around people that I enjoy, and there's not a strife in this situation, but I was thinking about my in-laws, my wife's family, and we're scattered. Her family is scattered all over the globe. There's a couple of them across the ocean, and the rest of us are in three different states, and we don't get to see each other as much as we would like to. And it's not because of strife, it's because we're serving the Lord. And Abram said, it's better for us to be separated. That is not the worst thing that could happen here. There are other priorities that are more important. And I'm thankful that my wife's family, in this case, would rather serve the Lord where God wants them to be than to be together. They would rather serve the Lord and please the Lord than having togetherness or another priority. God is first, and I'm thankful for that. It ought to be that way in our lives as well. We know that the saints will be together for eternity. And so until then, we ought to focus on serving the Lord, wherever that may be. It's better to serve the Lord apart from each other in the will of God than live together out of the will of God. John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. We need to have the right priorities. And Abram did. We've seen a couple of them already. He prioritized peace over strife. Let's not have this competition. Let's not strive with each other here. Let there be peace, because strife just destroys everything. It'll ruin us both. It'll destroy all of our lives. And so let's say no to that. Let's stop that. But also, let's arrange our other priorities. We can't stay in this situation because it will bring strife and destruction. We need to separate. And that was a painful choice, but he was willing to make it. And we're going to stop here. There are one more priority that he had, and then we're going to see future choices that were in Lot's and Abram's life. We won't take the time to do it this morning, but I want us to just meditate on this week, that our choices bring outcomes, our choices take us somewhere. Where are your choices taking you? Well, I'm gonna do this. I'm going to live my life this way this week. I'm gonna plan for this. I'm gonna make this course change in my life. Where will that take you? Is that a place that God wants you to be? Well, I'm worried about this choice because I think God wants me to make this choice, but I'm really worried about what's gonna happen after that. Well, if God wants you to do it, you can trust him. You can trust that he will guide. And we just need to be very mindful of the choices that we make, because so often we can think that they're inconsequential. It's no big deal. I'm just doing this. But our choices always take us somewhere. And may it be to the place where God wants us to be. Our choices are important. And we are the only ones that can make them. There's great power in our choices. Nobody can make your choices for you. They might tell you that they can. But ultimately, you make your choices, and we need to make the right ones because they always take us somewhere. Let's pray. Father, thank you for